The Lord be with you. Welcome to a lot of people today. We have visiting students on campus. I know we also have a lot of student teachers here whose school was canceled. And we also have Laura Cray. Laura is the first of our senior witnesses. We'll have six this semester who are going to offer to us some of the wisdom that they have gleaned over their years at Hope and point to God, point us to God. So obviously Laura is a senior. She's an English major with a creative writing minor, grew up in Zealand, and is now here at Hope with us. I had the pleasure of meeting Laura this past summer before Dan and I started working here at a writing workshop, which seems fitting. And I have really delighted in getting to know her. So I offer to you now Laura, and I'm going to pray with her before she begins. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Laura and for your work in her life. We thank you for the gift of words that you have given to her, and we ask that those words come forth from her mouth and meet our hearts. We offer this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would give anything to start off my years at Hope as the person I am today. It's a paradox, really, because my time here has shaped me into this new person, but the experiences I wish hadn't happened are the very ones which I am thankful for. It was not an easy process, and so I sit here in front of you, not saying that I know all the answers, just saying my story. I find God more easily in the waves of Lake Michigan than I do in a church, and for a long time, I thought that meant something was wrong with me. When I came to Hope, I compared my faith to everyone else's and deemed it unworthy because it did not look the same. I remember talking to Kate Davilar, one of the former chaplains, and I would say, "It just seems like everyone else is further along than I am." And she would look back and say, "You're making it sound like a race. What's the end goal?" And I would stumble, "You know, this perfect Christian. They're really good at reading their Bible, and they pray a lot." And despite my ability to describe this person, I could never give a name or a face to my utopian Christian. And even despite that, I continue to compare in more areas than just faith. She's so much prettier than me. Why can't I be that funny? They have so many friends. And this comparison was like a drain, with my fervor for life seeping out. I searched for validation from other people around me, but they could never fully give me what I wanted, despite how hard I tried. I would pour myself into new friendships, always feeling like I wasn't getting enough in return, and it became exhausting. Because time after time, no matter how great another human is, they're not perfect, and they eventually disappoint. And this time became very difficult for me. A verse that proved very helpful is from 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 11. "For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live through him." You see, I would later find out that some of the darkness I was experiencing would be diagnosed as clinical depression. To give you something of a barometer of where I was at, by the end of my sophomore year, I would have lost 15 pounds from forgetting to eat. My record of sleep would be 21 hours in one day. Going to class became one of the hardest things I ever had to do because I lacked the energy to even move, let alone be capable of intelligent discourse. I was a shadow of myself, and even though I wasn't, I felt completely alone. I felt not only separated from God, but from people. I walked around a shell of a human. I was bones and skin, slowly becoming more bones, but less of everything else. So I mastered the art of pretending. I would leave my pillow cocoon and walk to class with a smile plastered on my face, wondering if nobody knew I was unhappy, maybe I wouldn't be. But sometimes it became too much. Chapel became too hard for me to go to. My faith didn't really exist. It had not been about God, but about another place to compare myself to. I couldn't even concentrate on the music or sermons because I was so preoccupied of whether or not I should be raising my hands or how the row in front of me looked like they were feeling it more than I was. And so I quit going. And I don't talk about chapel to provide a spiritual barometer of my faith because that's not what it is, but to show how far the tentacles of comparison had reached. I had a 9:30 class at the Science Center and lived in Phelps. This information is crucial because it meant I had to walk back the opposite direction. I don't know if anyone here has ever had to walk against the herd coming to chapel, but it is beyond intimidating. It was my Monday, Wednesday, Friday walk of shame, and I dreaded it each time. I felt judged for not attending. Some people could not fathom any reason why I wouldn't go, and I did not want to explain it to them. You see, I thought of talking about God the same way about my Spanish class. Although I could learn the words, they did not feel at home on my tongue. The same helplessness I would feel in class, listening to everyone spit words back and forth at rapid speed, while I was trying to form my sentence into something acceptable, by the time I'd already had formed my sentence, someone had already started speaking, and my depression made me too tired to deal with it, to pretend. Sometimes, when I wouldn't go to the gathering, people would make jokes about my salvation being at stake. They were jokes, but reaffirmed what I already believed. I was not good enough to be here. And dealing with this, along with class, and the exhaustion of depression was terrifying. I already felt like I couldn't fit in because I didn't understand my faith. And then I had this mental condition that I didn't ask for, didn't want, and didn't want to talk about. Part of me, the selfish part that wishes none of it happened, wishes that one day I had an epiphany and realized how to get better and everything changed and I understood God. That definitely did not happen. It was a slow, slow process. In fact, it's one that's still continuing today. But it began when a good friend bravely told me, "Laura, you're getting help or I'm doing it for you." And those are words I hated at the time, but I'm grateful for to this day. And so I reached out and began the process of getting better and then treating it as an illness, working on becoming healthy, and I began to change. And for me, this change involved God, recognizing that he is more than an idea, but a someone. Realizing the goodness in life, in nature, in me, while battling a profound unhappiness, a profound nothingness, is terrifying. But once I began, I realized how good it was. And I began to be pushed. I started to realize the smiles I saw on the Pine Grove pathway could very well be just as fake as mine were. How every person I encounter has a life that becomes their choice to let me into. But before they do that, it is not my place to assume who they are, where they're coming from, and to assume they are better than me or worse than me. But instead, to get a glimpse into that life is a gift, and I must earn it. Faith looks differently. And I realized I believed in God, like really believed, was when swimming at dusk on James Street Beach. The setting sun illuminated the water so everything submerged glowed green, and it hit me that this could not be an accident. The way my toes dug into the sand, glowing green toes submerged beneath thousands of tiny grains, was spiritual. The beach and I were both created by an all-powerful God, and we were good. Like the beach's process from night to day is slow, my progress was like a slow sunset, sometimes more painful than beautiful, but filled with a unique vibrancy. His creation has intention, and I'm thankful to have grown up on these shores, because once I found God there, I began to see him in new places. And then I began to see myself as more than a collection of flaws and worries. And I want to be clear, God did not automatically make me better, but he was an integral part in realizing the goodness around me. And so, with a really great family and set of friends and a lot of work, I got the strength to grow. I began to become of the day, awake. And getting out of that darkness, one that had engulfed me for so long, was beautiful. And I found that my salvation did not exist through death, as I so often thought before, imagining death as a beautiful escape from all the hardship I saw around me, but that salvation is something I'm being offered right now. Right now. And one part of that verse, to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live through him. Awake or asleep. God was there for me when I was sleepwalking through life, but I can choose to experience the goodness that comes with life right now. And the burden of comparison still glints in my peripheral. It is by no means over. But my faith through God lets me see me as an individual, a creation. And my worth does not need to be seen in conjunction with someone else, but instead, it is my relationship with God. I used to be afraid to follow along with scripture in church because I don't have the books in the Bible memorized. And so I'd be afraid to fumble around looking for Ezra or 2 Timothy, only halfway there to find everyone else had finished. And it's that comparison thing that made me too afraid to start. And now it becomes about learning, teaching myself to go for it despite my imperfection. And my faith helps me face the day and embrace life as good. To be honest, the scariest part of this talk involves where I am going from here, because unlike my story, I don't have the proof it all turns out. But from my experience, I have learned I still have a guarantee. I have applied to graduate school and await the decision. Not getting in terrifies me. It's a fear I can feel living in my stomach every time I think about holding the acceptance or rejection letter in my hand. And I know it's because a small part of me wants to find identity in that letter. But it's because of the progress I made that I can let that go. So I sit here in front of you without any concrete answers about my future, not knowing which letter I will receive in the mail, but with other concretes. I was made by a God who wanted me to find the daylight and stop sleepwalking through life, who wants the best for me, and that his plan may not be the one that fits into my perceived better plan. Your plan may look different than mine, and your experiences are your own, but know that I have found God in a darkness that felt pretty dark, and I hope that you can go out and focus on being of the light and be awake as you go through not only the rest of your college, but your life. And if this is something you struggle with or have questions about anything I said, shoot me an email at my Hope account, Laura Cray. I'd be honored to hear your story. I go to LJ's a lot, and we can chat. Thank you for your time. Go in peace.